Good morning. Good morning and welcome. If you're a member of this congregation, you already know that I'm not the preacher here. If you're visiting with us, you should know that on the first Sunday of the month, we have a custom here where we have a guest speaker. And that's me today. So I have a lesson for you today. I hope it will be useful and valuable to you. I normally spend a lot of time researching for a topic that I think will be helpful for us. But this time, my inspiration actually came from you guys. During the last couple months, I heard quite a few folks mention one particular verse. And you see that verse above me here from 1 Peter. So as this was mentioned two or three times in our various classes that I was in, I thought maybe this topic deserved a little more attention. So that's really what I want to talk to you about today in terms of not giving Satan an advantage in our lives. So one of the most sobering facts about life here on earth is that all humans have a supernatural enemy whose aim is to use both pleasure and pain to make us, well, this is kind of blunt, but to make us blind, stupid, and miserable. And he wants to do that eternally, forever. The Bible calls him by various names: the devil, Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, the accuser, the ruler of this world, and the god of this age. The Bible also calls him our adversary, who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Yet, surprisingly, the whole world willingly, and I should repeat that, willingly follows this prince of the power of the air that is now the work, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. People willingly choose to follow Satan. And when he's most successful, his subjects march, it seems like, obliviously to destruction. And unfortunately, they take as many with them as they can. So this morning, we'll talk about Satan. The apostles spent a lot of their times warning the early first century church, the first century believers, about Satan. And these warnings are just as applicable to us today, that we must not give any place to the devil in our lives. The New International Version of the Bible says, "Do not give the devil a foothold." The New American Standard Version says, "Do not give the devil an opportunity." And it's very clear that Satan is seeking a place in our lives, in the lives of believers. He's looking for a foothold, something that he can grab onto in our lives in order to bring us down. He's seeking an opportunity to fulfill his plans, again, to steal and to kill and to destroy. Those are his aims. So being a believer in Jesus doesn't really give us any automatic immunity. Doesn't make us immune from the devil, not at all. In fact, it makes us a bigger target. If we give the devil a place, you can be sure he's going to take it. If we open the door, he's certainly going to come in. So, what are some of the ways that believers can give the devil a place in their lives? Well, that would be a long list, and we're only going to discuss a few of them this morning. But suffice to say, when a person embraces sin, when you embrace sin, you're coming into agreement with the devil. And if we justify and hide our sin instead of walking in the light and living in repentance, then we're walking on very, very dangerous ground. And the longer we walk this way, the more opportunity we give to our enemy. We really need to take Paul's message to the Corinthians here you see above me very seriously. He said, "Do not be ignorant of Satan's devices that ensnare and enslave us." We certainly don't want to find ourselves in that situation. So how do people view Satan today? Well, obviously those views vary very greatly from person to person. Many of those who are lost in this world don't even think he's real. They see him as this cartoon character you see above me. He's not real. Just another fictional character from that fairy tale book called the Bible. While others jokingly see him only as maybe a Halloween costume character. You've seen that costume before, haven't you? Or perhaps some even see him as a sports logo, a mascot. And by the way, I kind of like Duke. Their mascot's just a little questionable, but to us as Christians, Satan's no laughing matter. We need to take him very seriously. Whatever form he takes, whether it's in the form of a serpent or of an angel, he's real and he's very dangerous. We need to be constantly watching that we don't give him an opportunity to insert himself into our lives. So this morning, I want to briefly discuss five ways you see listed above me: ignorance, indifference, overconfidence, carelessness, and flirtation. These are five ways that we give Satan the advantage he's looking for to be part of our daily walk. And we need to be on the guard for that. So let's look at the first one now. Let's talk about ignorance. If we're ignorant of Satan, we choose to ignore him. Certainly, we give him an opportunity to be part of our lives. Hosea brought this point up when he spoke to the Israelites in terms of don't be ignorant of Satan. We need to understand God's word. The better we understand and the more knowledge of God's word that we have, the better we're going to be prepared to fight Satan and his lies. Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge." And we certainly don't want to find ourselves in that situation. And as we mentioned previously, we don't want to be ignorant of Satan's devices. He has many, many in his arsenal, many in his toolkit that he'll use against us. We need to be watchful for them. And we need to be careful that we're not weak in the faith in danger of being deceived. Satan is so good at deceiving us, or helping us to deceive ourselves. Paul spoke to the Corinthians about this when he said, "A serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness." He can still deceive us by that same craftiness and those same lies. We need to be on the guard for him. And when he spoke to the church in Ephesus, he said what we really need to be on guard for is principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We need to be aware of Satan, on the guard for him, not ignore him. He can easily become part of our lives if we don't. Another way we can give Satan an advantage to be part of our lives is to be indifferent to him, to be totally indifferent to him. Why? Because it gives him an opportunity to do what he wants to do in an unrestricted manner. Matthew talks about a parable that Jesus shared with the people. Jesus said, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." And then Jesus went on to explain this parable a few verses later, where he said, "The enemy who sowed those tares is the devil." And we need to be aware that that's what he's doing daily, constantly. Don't need to be indifferent to him. Why? Because if we are indifferent, we can end up helping Satan rather than the Lord. And we certainly don't want to find ourselves in that situation. Again, Matthew shares the words of Jesus with us when he says, He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. We certainly want to be with Jesus, not making Satan's job easier. And we need to remember the result. If we're indifferent, We can certainly destroy our lives, our eternal souls in the process. We all remember the church in Revelation, the seven churches that were mentioned there, and Jesus' words to them when we were indifferent or lukewarm. What did he say? Because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. We need to be aware that Satan is out there and he's constantly prowling about. We can also get ourselves in trouble and give Satan an advantage when we're overconfidence. The opposite, the extreme opposite of indifference is overconfidence. And we need to be on guard for that as well. Do we need to be confident? Yes. We need to be confident in God's power, God's strength, the Holy Spirit's strength. We need to be humble in our own abilities to fight Satan. Again, Paul's words to the Corinthians. He said, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. All of us are subject to being overtaken by Satan. We're not that strong. We're not as strong as we think. We need to lean on and trust the Lord. And when we think we can't stumble, when we're so confident, we think that I've reached such a maturity and such a level of perfection, I can't stumble. That's when we really need to look out, because that's when we can get ourselves in trouble. You remember our old friend Peter. He's the perfect example of that, is he not? What did he tell Jesus? Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Was he? No, he was not. We know that. He denied Christ three times in quick succession. We don't want to find ourselves being overconfident in our own abilities. We need to trust God and His strength. And finally, we need to remember this old proverb, because it's really very true and something we need to keep in mind. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We need to be humble when it comes to our own abilities to overcome Satan. And we need to be confident and God's ability to overcome him, because he can. We can't on our own. Another way we give an advantage to Satan is when we're careless. Careless. Peter reminds them in our verse, our central theme this morning, does he not? Be what? Be sober and vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. We need to treat Satan the same way we would a dangerous animal who's out there, someone who can kill us, take care of our eternal soul, protect it from Satan, just like we would from a dangerous wild animal. Why? Because we can lose that reward. It is possible to lose that reward. The Hebrew writer tells us this, that every transgression and every disobedience received will receive a just reward. That's God's way. He's holy and he's just. So we're going to reap what we sow. So how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We won't. We won't. We need to continue walking in the light and in God's grace and God's mercy. And to prevent falling, what do we need to do? We need to be diligent. How often? Once a week? Here on Sunday mornings only? No. Daily, 24/7. Again, 1 Peter, nice verse here that addresses this. Do what? Give all diligence, constantly. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble. And what does he say in this passage? Basically, he says, take on the whole armor of God. Lean on those fruits of the Spirit. That's the only way we're going to defeat Satan and not give him an opportunity. Use everything that God has given us in our arsenal to combat him. And finally, another way, and perhaps the way that we're most vulnerable to, is flirtation. When we flirt with temptations that Satan puts out there in front of us. And we all know our temptations. We all have different ones. So, but what should our response be to those temptations? We should run. It's really clear. We should run, but do we always do that? Unfortunately, no. Sometimes we like to walk up close to that line as we can. Flirt with those temptations, if you will, instead of running. But we need to run. That should be our response. Paul mentions a lot of different situations where people, things we should not flirt with. When he spoke to the Corinthian church, he talked about flee, run from sexual immorality. Then he also told them to flee from idolatry. Are those things still a problem today? Yes, they are. So those are things we need to avoid today. Not flirt with, but run from. And when he spoke to that young preacher, Timothy, he shared similar thoughts when he said, you need to flee these things. And specifically here, he was talking about the love of money. And certainly that was a problem then, and it's a problem today. And he gives him some cures with it, this. And he also, again, when he talks about youthful lust here in chapter 2, verse 22, he talks about flee also youthful lust and do what instead? Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's how we defend ourselves from Satan. So what happens when you flirt? I think we all know the answer. We really don't want to admit it sometimes, but we know. Common sense tells us if you're flirting, eventually, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually you're going to get burned. You're going to get burned when you flirt with temptations. Proverbs gives us a very good example of this. In this story here, where it says, can a man take fire to his bosom? What's the answer? No, you're going to get burned. We know that. Can we walk on hot coals and not get burned? No, we know that that's not true. We're going to get burned. Same way with all these temptations that Satan puts in front of us. We're going to get burned if we flirt with them. So, let's review our list here real quick. I went through those pretty fast this morning. But I think they're all important things that we need to be aware of. We need to walk daily, ensuring we're not ignorant or indifferent to Satan's lies and his schemes, because he's still the master of lies. We also need to be humble and watchful for his attacks constantly. And lastly, we need to avoid his temptations in the first place. Avoid them. Run from them. Seems simple enough, doesn't it? Satan certainly doesn't need us to make life easier for him. But sometimes we do. Unfortunately, many of us find ourselves feeling and looking kind of like this guy. Tied up and constrained by sin. James says, if we resist the devil, he will flee from you. So how do we do that? How exactly do we do that? Well, we talked about a few of those ways in some of our examples we just discussed. If you want to look at another one, you can look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, where it says, they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. So these people, they embraced the triumph of Christ by his blood. They spoke the truth in faith. They did not fear death, and they triumphed. Perhaps that's a good model for us to emulate as well. And we need to remember this important point. There really is no neutral zone in the war between Satan and God. You either triumph by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, or you're going to be enslaved by Satan. But all of mankind should rejoice, and we should rejoice continually, because Jesus has already won this war for us. And all of us can be freed from sin and death through Jesus' sacrifice and his daily intervention for us. Jesus can free us. And certainly don't walk away this morning with a negative attitude, despairing over our situation with Satan. Sin can feel like it's squishing us sometimes, but let's remember, God is sovereign over Satan. God is sovereign over Satan. The devil does not have a free hand in this world. He's on a leash so that he can do no more than God permits. We all remember the story of Job, do we not? That's the situation. God's still in control. Satan's complete defeat is coming, and it's sure, but it's not yet. So we have to persevere, and we have to keep the faith. So wouldn't this morning be a great time for you to commit to Christ and have total victory over sin and over Satan? You've heard many preachers stand up here at this podium and speak and highlight these steps to salvation that you see listed above me. They're really pretty simple to understand, but they do require a lifetime and a lifelong commitment. Yet with God's grace and God's mercy and the Holy Spirit's strength, any of us, let me repeat that, any of us can do it. It just requires a decision on our parts to trust God and to put His will first. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, I'd ask you to come forward now as we stand and sing with John.